We're recording and started. Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone. My name is Jordan Carter, the rapporteur for Work Party One in the CCWG on accountability. Welcome to our meeting today, and thank you for joining with relatively short notice. The thing that we're trying to get out of this call today, this is a process call. It's not a substance call. We're not gonna be discussing any of the issues before us. We're gonna be just working out what it is that we need to do in the next 4 weeks or so, wrapping up to our next version of the public comment report. The only documents that might be necessary for this call are to look at the I can't remember what it's called, the tracker documents that are circulated in the email calling the meeting. And I can put a link to that in the chat in a moment. And the other document that you might need to look at or should look at is Steve Dobianko's thing that he's just done. I just want to correct, because we've got 4 weeks of work to do, because our next version of the public comment report is going out at the end of July. We've got 2 weeks until a cutoff for the Paris meeting. So with that, I think it might be worth doing a brief recap on exactly what it is that we need to do at a high level before we get into some nitty-gritty stuff about number of calls and the work approach. The simplest thing we need to do by the end of July is have new content ready for our parts of the report. And an example of the scorecard is in the screen in front of you, and we will work through the WP1 sections of that. And when we've gone through this overview, I'll get Steve Dobianko through an example of what he's already done for one of the next steps of this in terms of the AOCU reviews being incorporated in the bylaws. So, Steve, I think you're already forewarned about that. So hopefully you'll be ready to speak about that shortly. The other thing we need to do, so we need to provide by the end of July new content, refreshed content that takes into account both the public comments we've received and any decisions, conclusions that we reach at the Paris meeting in a couple of weeks into the next version of our public comment report. And the preferred style at this point in doing that work is not to present issues papers in Paris, but it's to get as far as we can in terms of new drafting the next version of the report and looking at that at the Paris meeting where required. And the implication there is that we need to do the more difficult or controversial areas first, not last. So those are the bits that we need to have the conversation about in Paris. Yes, Kavus makes a good point in the chat. It's not just the public comment. It's also the discussion and dialogue at the Buenos Aires meeting that's just finished. Another thing that we need to do by the end of July is to be ready to reply to all of the public comments that we received in the first public comment. And we've done quite a lot of that in our tool in terms of addressing replies to people's comments. But we will need to have completed that work. I think that's a subsidiary and easier job to worry about. And so there are two, there's a natural break point in the middle of this work, and it is our Paris meeting. We've got a cutoff, if you like, in terms of a freeze on the 14th of July to have anything that's ready for there. And then after Paris, we've got the headlong rush to the comment report itself finalized. So I guess that's the two kind of key things that we need to do from my point of view. And I'd like to take a pause there and invite people to raise their hands to say if I've missed any significant pieces of work that we need to do or to add anything to that. Does anyone have any comments on that? Kavus, please go ahead.
Yes, good time to everyone. I wish to suggest that we take if possible, similar approach of CWG in the sense that we group issues that they are connected to each other and establish some sort of a little group or design team to study those, because we cannot deal with everything at the meeting, at this meeting. I'm sorry, we don't have 4 weeks. We have 2 weeks. In 17th, 18th of July, we should have more or less preliminary final view on the things in order to discuss that at the CWG meeting. So we have little time, and we have to find out what is the best approach to proceed with the issues and not to have everything at the meeting, having some people being volunteers to work on various issues and bring the response back to the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Describe that as a CWG working method. I think it's exactly the method that we did in our first comment report, which is that we will get individuals to volunteer to lead pieces of work, and they will report back. It might be one individual, it might be a group of people. They'll come back to this group for a kind of first reading on their conclusions, and then we'll freeze stuff to send to Paris. My point about making sure that people realize it's 4 weeks is to be clear that we don't need to do both of the tasks I've described by the time of Paris. That is, we don't have to draft all of our replies to all of the public comments by Paris, but we do need to make sure that we've got, at least for the more contentious parts of our work, new text that incorporates all the feedback we've got in Buenos Aires from the written comments, from our debates in BA on that time. So I would like to just re-ask the question, and Steve, I'm looking at you in particular because I missed the last CCWG call and anyone else who was on that. Aside from those two chunks of work, replying to the public comments and getting content ready for Paris and for the final report, are there any other pieces of work that we need to do that anyone is aware of? Steve, your hand's up.
Thanks, Jordan. On the call we had yesterday, there's an effort to begin to develop specs for one or both groups of lawyers to take a first pass at bylaws changes. And the first step of developing to consider public comments, update our draft document, and then pass that along as specs. And we'll get to this later in the call, but the co-chair yesterday selected the Section 6.2 on affirmation reviews as sort of a pilot project or a candidate for the first pass at trying to develop specs and to try to figure out if this interplay with the two legal teams will produce a sensible way of coming up with bylaws draft. So that was the only thing I would add that is on Work Party One's plate, and it's because the AOC reviews as part of Work Party One will be asked to do a very quick job of developing that into specs while we're doing the other things you mentioned in parallel.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Could I just ask a follow-up question on that, which is, are there any other areas that the CCWG expects us to do that for, or are we doing the AOC reviews as a pilot first before we decide our other areas to focus on?
Jordan, just to follow up, eventually, and by that I mean end of July, I believe that everything from the proposed document that was Work Party One's creation would need to be turned into specs. So the answer is all of it, but we're supposed to do a quick pass on the relatively simple one for affirmation reviews so that that can be handed off as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you for that clarification, Steve. That sounds good to me. So what I propose we do, we are going to follow your suggestion in a sense, Caboose. I don't know if there'll be little groups or if individuals will have to pretend to be a group, but we will need to get lead responsibility among people or groups for some of these chunks of work that we've got on our plate. And so I think I didn't have as much time to prep for this thing as I hoped, but my suggestion is that we look through the the document in front of us on the screen, the scorecard, and just see if we've got people who instinctively are ready to volunteer to do any of these pieces of work in front of us. I think there are a couple of groupings. I think that the... To work through that, and then after we've done that, to have a discussion about the kinds of calls, how many we might need, and so on. So are people happy to go in that direction now? If I don't hear it otherwise, I'll assume you are. And Caboose, I'll take your hand since it's up. Go ahead.
Yes. I think maybe I'm wrong. I do not remember whether we have thoroughly studied and examined affirmation of commitment. I remember Steve was very kind and start from some part of that, paragraph 7, 8, 9, or paragraph 9 started, but not the whole thing. Possibly, perhaps, we could have a little group dealing with the AOC to review whether we need to take any other element of that into the bylaws and also decide what we do with the remaining part. And I have a suggestion for the remaining part. Some parts are not candidate for the bylaw in any case because they are functional and operational. There might be some other way to put them somewhere in the bylaw, but not having the rules and the threshold of the bylaw because that may change or may require change quite easily. So we don't need to assign them 2/3 of a vote or 3/4 of a vote. It must be, it may be required to have a lower threshold, 50% plus one simple majority. And that is something which possibly fit within some operational function, which change quite quickly, and we should not push them to have a 2/3 or 3/4 of votes. That is something to discuss and to examine. I'm not suggesting any particular item, but that is what I suggest. One, establish a little group for the AOC to review the situation. Thanks.
I think it's fair to say that we've already done that. We had a group of Steve and Matthew and a few others, Avery, who reviewed the entirety of the AOC, the Affirmation of Commitments. And their section of the public comment report that we did in May did include an assessment of all parts of it. So the parts of the AOC that were commitments by the United States government obviously don't work their way into the ICANN bylaws. And the parts that were ICANN commitments are all either reflected in the new core values part of the paper or in translating other parts of the AOC requirements. So I think we've already done what you suggest, which is great because it means we're a little bit ahead of the game. Matthew, your hand.
Yeah, thanks. Can you hear me?
We can.
So I agree with your approach and bucketing the work and everything. I'm just wondering, when it comes to the first three items on our list or the first three lines relating to community empowerment, how does the work that we're going to be doing interrelate with the work on trying to figure out which of the two models that are currently before us as a larger group, and where will that sit in the mix? Because obviously that discussion it still has to happen. Thanks.
Thank you, Matthew. That's a good question. The writing instructions that I've got are that in terms of the model and the mechanism, that's being done by the CCWG asking the lawyers to draft out the two alternatives, so the empowered designator and the empowered SOAC model. That itself will be a core input for what we're doing in Paris, but that as a consequence of that separate strand of work, we don't need ourselves to do it. That's being done elsewhere. So unless I'm wrong on that, it's not something that we need to do in our group. So we're explicitly not doing the model work. So no, we're not going to have a model group, Caboose. So can we put what's happened to our documents, staff? Can we keep the thanks. Yeah. So If we I haven't heard any opposition to my... Sorry, Alan, your hand is up.
No, I wasn't trying to oppose. I agree with what you're planning. I was just going to note that on the first three items, there's probably a fair amount of overlap with the newly chartered or being chartered work WP3. A whole aspect of empowering communities, make sure the community doesn't run away in some random direction out of control. So just the thought that we will need some overlap between between the group of groups doing that and whoever's looking at WP3. For the record, I plan to try to be on both, but whether my time will allow is a different issue.
Yeah, thank you. Caboose, to me, the comments that you're typing into the chat window are not appropriate for Working Party 1. They're comments that would be really helpfully directed to the whole CCWG. Core values is absolutely out of scope for our work in this group, so we will definitely not be dealing with it. It's a Work Party 2 matter. So I'm going to proceed, if I can, folks, with us just looking through this scorecard. And I'd like to draw, it's kind of hard to see, it's very small, but I'd like to draw your attention just at the bottom of the first page to where we've got community empowerment starting, number 4. That's the start of our WP1 work. And everything else above that is WP2. And the first three items there, AAA, the mechanism to represent the community, et cetera, that's what's being led by the model work that we've just discussed. So we don't need to do anything about that. So if you scroll to the top of the second page, you've got the kind of list of community powers that we've talked about, the 6, the budget and strategy, the bylaws change, fundamental bylaws, approval change, individual board member removal, recall of the whole board. And so those powers do need to be updated in line with the feedback that we've received. And I don't think it's one giant block of work. I think it is helpful to divide it out. So the question is, whether you agree to that or disagree with that. And let's just take a call on those things. I recall that when we were preparing this initially, different people did various bits of drafting. And personally, I'd be really relaxed if individuals want to take up each part of this, or whether we want to have a subgroup that, if you like, as suggested, could be the kind of cowards group that does an integrated piece of work on that. The benefit of that would be that we could make sure that we were describing and using consistent language across it. The disadvantage is that it's just a little bit more work to do in one lump. So I'll take the speaking list as it is on the call. Caboose, you're first.
Yes, I agree with you, but not all of the group that I've suggested is Working Party 1, but doesn't matter because your Working Party and start before the other Working Party. If you see that some of the little group that I suggest for your consideration is not in the term of reference Working Party 1, still a suggestion, could be suggested to the CCWG next call, or could be transferred to Working Party 2. So that's all. So that is why I'm suggesting to have this little group which has worked very well in the CWG and had a good result. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lewis. Next is Greg. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jordan. Greg Shatton. I think that I'm not sure exactly what Caboose is referring to in the CWG, where we essentially, between the first and second drafts, restructured how we approach things, moving from the RFP teams, which were large and broad in scope, to drafting teams that were intended to be small and agile and narrowly focused. That was a real pivot point. I don't think that what's being proposed in our group is that kind of pivot point. So it seems fairly clear to me that WP1's mandate is as it was, and discussions of the scope of the group aren't necessary. Now, that said, and the reason I put up my hand was not exactly on on point either, but and I'm not exactly sure where it fits, although I think it fits at this point. We haven't spent as much time as one would like, I think, to talking about the community council or whatever it may be, and we also, I think, need to revisit the composition in light of the discussions that we had in BA and the declarations by the SSAC and RSSAC that consistent with their view of the role of an advisory committee and the that it was not appropriate for them to participate at least as members. It's not clear if we go to a designator role if that is exactly the same thing, but I think we need to explore that as well, explore the composition and whether there is in fact a council or just a vote tallying mechanism. Council implies some level of discussion and work being done, you know, within a council system. Having had a good deal of time to reflect on this in Buenos Aires, the very real idea that my constituency would not have a seat at that table has become increasingly troublesome to me. And I don't believe that being represented by a member of the ISPs or by a business constituency as valuable as, say, Steve Del Bianco has been to this group, serves as in a representative capacity. I think we do need to revisit that aspect of this, as well as what it is that this community grouping will be working with. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. That's a helpful reminder of some points that we need to pick up, both the weight of voting in this system and the actual, whether it's a council or voting mechanism. It reminds me of another thing from the public comment that we need to pick up either here or in WP1, which is the whole idea of a virtual accountability forum needs to pick up as well. So I've noted those, and we can add them to our work program along with volunteers. My hope is that for some of these where there's still debates to be had, if we can't settle them through a discussion in WP1 or the CCWG, will raise them as matters for Paris agenda. Thanks for that. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Greg actually talked about the similar things that I was. With regard to Cavus's recommendation for using drafting teams, as the CWG did, I think what you're describing is we are, that you're looking for one or more volunteers to do specific things and draft things. We're just not formally labeling them with titles and convening them as groups. But I think we're talking about the same methodology. What Greg was talking about really is the second two A's at the bottom of page one. I'm not quite sure why three items are all labeled A, but ignoring that. The first A is really selection of the model. Now, I'm not at all clear who's going to do it if we're not going to do it, but I'm willing to not have that discussion today. But the second two A's are exactly what Greg was just talking about, and we do need to flesh out the details of how that's going to work. And moreover, with potential withdrawal of the RSAC and the SSAC and the question mark that's over the GAC, we have to look at whether the model we're talking, I'm not thinking which model, but the representation concept we're talking about is viable with such a small number of representatives. For instance, at one point we talked about something needing one SO and two ACs to take some action. We may not have two ACs. So I think we have to do a sanity check at the same time, but I don't think we can take those last two items on page one off the books. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Moving on down the speaking list, Steve.
Jordan, the document that's displayed, the scorecard, contains several community powers. That's the section you're focusing on. And it was my impression that we had broad support for the community powers and that we should incorporate comments such that we can update our document and then begin the idea of bylaws drafting. I also had the impression that we treat those community powers as being accessible to any AC and SO, regardless of whether and if they become a designator or a member. In other words, the means of enforcement is not relevant, the participation in voting to block bylaws. We still want to write up a voting scheme for all ECs and SOs, and their participation in that voting does not rely upon the structure or the model. I think Alan used the word model. I'll go with that. That may be idealistic. It might be that they're intertwined in some way, but it's attractive. It's attractive to be able to develop these powers with minimal updates to our first draft and simply defer this question of enforcement to a subsequent section that we're going to work out with the aid of counsel when we get together in Paris. Does that jive with your understanding of how even a community council is like a permanent cross-community working group of all ACs and SOs, regardless of whether they decide to activate something like a designator or a membership? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. So my response to that is that we've had pretty clear steers from the small technical advisory committees, the RSAC and the SSAC, that they want to have their influence in the ICANN environment based on the quality and power of their advice. And my reading of their feedback at Buenos Aires and beyond was that they wouldn't want to participate in these community powers, irrespective of the designator or member or any other kind of formality question. Now, I think that's something that we would be empowered as part of that discussion that Greg and Alan have both mentioned, the last two A's on, or the first two A's, or whichever one it is, at the bottom of page one. We should ask them again to confirm that, or we should just have a verbal conversation with their chairs through our co-chairs to make sure we've got our understanding right. On the question in the chat about whether the Community Council would resolve powers or not, the design question we've got to focus on with that is, I think, as Greg said, whether in exercising that list of powers in front of us, the budget, bylaws, and so on, there's a group of people who come together to discuss and cast votes, quote-unquote, or whether there's simply a relative weighting of influence between the various SOs and ACs that end up participating. And that's the key design question. So that does not replace, to be clear, that does not replace the discussion the whole CCWG is having about whether empowered designators or the empowered SOAC model is the right way to go. That discussion has to happen along in parallel. And I take Alan's point that we need to just clarify that very explicitly with the co-chairs and the whole CCWG. So I'm planning to write an update email to the whole CCWG and to our group after this call, probably in about 4 hours, that will set that out really clearly. So if we do need to pick it back up, we'll get a steer back from it. The next person on the speaking list is Caboose.
Yes, I'm not convinced that the community council is entirely different from the model. First, apart from the SSAC and RSAC, it is very unlikely that GAC would favor membership. I'm not speaking on behalf of GAC, but having heard the discussion, it is very unlikely. So there might be more people unwilling to go ahead with the models, in particular membership and so on. So I'm suggesting that why we believe that the community council is entirely different from the model, why could not replace those things? What the community council is the council deciding on issues, and these issues are those of the community empowerment. So why it is totally different? I suggest that each of us should not push for its own views, whether in favor of model, membership, or designator model. We should look what is the feeling of the community. At the beginning of the meeting, it was said that we should look into the public comment. I suggest that not only public comment, but those comments which we have heard and discussed at BA. There are a lot of discussions. Some of us have been in contact verbally or informally with many people, and we know the divergence of views in respect of each of these two models. So perhaps we should think of something which works better, and we could sell it to the people, to the community, and then we could achieve our objectives. So why not to discuss that. Why we say that? No, we don't want to discuss that. We say it is different from modern. No. I see, and I assure you that there is a great disagreement on the membership model. Great disagreement. So what we can do with that? I'm not suggesting to leave it, but we have to be quite neutral and with a fresh look. Thank you.
Caboose, I think that's the intention of what we're trying to do. I agree with you. So what we're trying to say is that whether it's a membership model or something else, a designated model, that's the discussion that I'm calling the model discussion. Whatever we choose there, whether there's a consensus around the membership, whether there's a consensus around designated, whatever decision gets made there, we're still proposing these set of powers, and we're still have to have a way to enact them. So there's still going to need to be a way to trigger, for instance, the rejection of the bylaws change. And the question about the council is only whether there's an assembly of people with carrying the votes to do it, or whether it's just a mechanical vote tallying for decisions that the SOs and ACs make separately. So we do need to resolve that. We do need to be clear with the community about whether we're proposing a grouping of people or whether we're just tallying up votes in an electronic vote counter cast by resolution of the SOs and ACs. But we have to do that anyway, whichever model is chosen. And so it's an implementation detail. There are separate discussions that we need to have both of. Our responsibility is not to cut across the work the lawyers are doing in drafting the table that you've talked about to have the discussion in Paris. That's where everything will be reconciled. Robin, your hand is up.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. So I just wanted to make a couple of points. One is on this question of a community council or using mechanisms in our internal existing. I just want to raise a little bit of a concern for creating additional representational bodies. I think we should avoid that to the extent that we can, and so the extent that decisions can be made without the need to create a new structure, I think we should look at that very closely. And the other point I wanted to raise was, I know Greg had mentioned the need to examine the role of the GAC a little bit more closely and examining it in particular under each one of the different models. And I want to support that, and I also want to add to it the nominating committee. I think it's not really clear the extent to which the nominating committee would fare in either one of these models, whether they would be considered designators, and then does that mean they would have all of the rights that designators have, and is that what we're trying to achieve? And so I just think there's a lot of details that we need to think through much more closely on both of these models, and that I think will help us come to some more of an informed decision in a couple weeks from now. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Yes, that is something we need to do. I'm getting terrible echo. That's better. And what I would like to propose as the way to make sure we pick up all those issues is that when I circulate a list of what I think the things are we need to pick up, then that'll be a kind of call for volunteers email, if you like. Just please run an eagle eye over it and make sure that we have picked up all of the issues. I'm taking notes as we go. Staff are taking notes, but we may miss things out. And I think your point about conservatism and what we're proposing in terms of new bodies is important. Alan, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. As I said in the chat, just for clarity, my understanding is if we end up with a membership model, I don't think those who are not members can override what the members decide because they have statutory rights to make certain decisions. So the community council could not tell members what to do, for instance. But I agree with Steve that when we're talking about the community council, that's not necessarily dependent on whether someone opts in to be a designator or to be a member. But if the SSAC and RSAC, for instance, or the GAC, opt to, even if they're part of the community council, opt to not participate, effectively abstain, we have a much smaller pool of those who are participating, and that's what I was getting at, not necessarily whether they're formally members, designators, or whatevers, but simply the much smaller pool of those who are participating may change the dynamics a fair amount, and I think we're going to have to carefully consider that. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Greg, you go.
This is Greg. I think that we need to look at this maybe perhaps in two different levels, but that's, and we may be getting off of our tack a little bit, but it seems to me there may be room, as someone once said, to have a council that would include even those who have bowed out of being members. But I guess the question there becomes, you know, do we now have groups that are exercising influence in two different ways, or is it the fact that all the groups are exercising influence in different ways? The GNSO does have its own powers under the bylaws in terms of the how the board is supposed to handle GNSO policy recommendations. But you know, maybe that, you know, to allay Alan's concern, you know, which is a real concern, that we need to think about whether those who are members, if we go down that route, are really exercising only their own will or the will of some larger community council. It goes back to, to some extent, the discussion we've had about having UAs. I won't say the full word because people might break out in hives. You know, acting merely as the point of execution for a decision actually made at a different level. At the one hand, you can't have if everybody opts out, then maybe nobody's making any decisions. If only one group opts in, then it doesn't necessarily make sense to have that group kind of making decisions unilaterally. So I think we do need to kind of look at. Maybe to some extent we need to go back to first principles and decide, you know, what is this multi-stakeholder community to which we want to give these powers? And perhaps a technical committee, which is, you know, to some extent comes from a cross-section of the community, you know, is not kind of a stakeholder, but perhaps the GAC, which may be to some extent misnamed, although it has an advisory capacity role, it represents a sector of stakeholders. And so analytically, we need to look past labels. ALAC is another that, you know, has that advisory word in its name but acts differently from other advisory committees. So, you know, whatever this structure is that we are dealing with, we have to see if it empowers the multi-stakeholder community as we see it, and not just some sector of it. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. I've indulged this discussion, but we've gotten quite deep into substance when we were intending to speak about process today. So given we haven't given people notice that we would start discussing the details, I would like to draw that part of this conversation to a close. And to say that in terms of the process, we've got the six community powers, we've got the questions about the council thing, the voting rights composition, the outside suggestion, and the feedback of a mutual accountability forum, the role of the nominating committee. And then if you keep scrolling down the paper, the only other one is the AOC reviews transcription into the Bibles. And it isn't just the reviews, it's the AOC altogether. And earlier on in the conversation, I said I would ask Steve to present the work that he has done. So I think, staff, if you've got a PDF copy of the work that Steve has done and circulated on the list a little while ago, I'll give you a minute or two to get that up on the screen in front of us, if you would. But in the meantime, I'll just keep talking briefly, which is to say that what I'd like Steve to propose is to talk through how he did this, what he's done, and to see if we agree that it's a useful working method to take for the other sections of our report. Because what I've got in mind is that we'll have a document with track changes like this for each of the chunks of work that we need to do. So, Steve, I'll hand it over to you.
Thanks, Jordan. I think I could do this in 5 minutes and then take input from everyone. I went through the process today of developing the document in front of you, and I found that there's 3 steps involved. The first is to analyze the public comments. The second is to update the document. That's what's in front of you. And the third is to go back to the public comment tool and explain what we did in the actual update of the document. So that's analyze, update, and explain. So the first type of analysis was going through our tool, and I think I've explained to you folks that page 134 to 43 of the frozen public comment tool is where Avery, myself, and many others had put in extensive work analyzing the public comments. And for several of them, there are actions suggested, such as clarifying something in our document. For some of them, we had follow-up questions. For instance, the registry stakeholder group had given us a comment that left us wondering what they meant. And so I took the step today of sending a follow-up email to the registry stakeholder group asking for clarification, which is all documented in the public comment tool. Keith Drazik immediately replied, explaining what the answer was. And that short-circuits the process. It makes it very easy then to get clarification from those who made the public comment, and that makes it much easier for us to update the document. So that's the analysis step. The update step, which you have in front of you, started with a technical element, which was to reach into our May 3rd document, the one we published with our first draft, and then to simply excerpt or cut and paste the particular chapter that was involved. In this case, it's chapter 6.2 on the affirmation of commitments. I paste it over. I get rid of the paragraph numbers, since they're all going to get jumbled and changed as a result of the edits. And the paragraph numbers can be re-added later when we actually publish in August. Given that we're going to move with separate sections, like 6.2 becomes a standalone section since it has to be run through the editing process of all of you, and then we have to actually take a look at turning it into a spec for the lawyers to develop bylaws. Given that, I think it's essential that you provide a little more context in each chapter. Here's what I mean by that. 6.2 on affirmation of commitments reviews sort of presumes that the reader has already seen 6.1. Section 6.1, which explained why certain things from the affirmation are being moved into the bylaws, things like the commitments and the core values and the reviews. So the red text you have on the screen in front of you was just reaching back into 6.1 and pulling forth some applicable context as to why we're doing the affirmation of commitments reviews in the bylaws. So bring that context forward and then dive into the text that we had. I did find that it was relatively easy to reach back into the public comment tool and indicate that where we needed to clarify things. There were several times I found items where only one commenter asked for something that was different than our draft, and in those cases, we'll explain in the tool that with only a single comment in dissent, we've proceeded with the consensus view. One other thing I did, I'll mention to you in this update section, is that whenever we had said things like member, capital M, member, I took that out. That is unnecessarily confusing. And a number of you can just look at the screen and see it right in the middle. I wrote advisory committees, supporting organizations, and stakeholder groups designate their representatives onto a review team. And earlier we had the word member in there, and that is just going to confuse people. We're not talking about member and designator. It's just that the GNSO would designate people to sit on the ATRT, or to sit on the Who Is or Directory Services review team. None of that has anything to do with whether we're a member or designator structure. And at the bottom of page 1, you reach back into the public comment tool, and we found that Japan and several other entities were really confused about how is it that the affirmation of commitments is going to still be hanging out there as duplicative or maybe even conflicting with what we've brought into the bylaws. And on our earlier draft, we had said that we anticipated that the AOC could be sunset, but I believe we should now own that and suggest that by bringing the key commitments and the affirmation of reviews in, we can actually say we ought to then terminate this bilateral agreement between the U.S. government and ICANN called the affirmation of commitments. So, Jordan, I'll stay true to my promise and not get into the content and just say that this process is relatively easy. You have to work between two documents, the updated draft, and you have to reach back into the public comment tool. But I have a feeling that when we're done and you all approve these updates, we'll have to dive back into the public comment tool and explain to the commenter that in this case we clarified in page 34, paragraph XYZ. So we'll be able to update the public comment tool after we've done the analysis and update to the new draft. I'll stop there. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Steve. So I'd like us, if we could, to have some discussion about the process that Steve did. So making sure that the section of text involved has appropriate context, and then following the approach that he did to both updates, and then to reflect back into the responses to the public comments we received, the conclusions that were drawn. So, Alan, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just two small points. I don't think I'm disagreeing with anything Steve said, but I'm quibbling on a couple of the words. If I caught him correctly, Steve said that if only one person made a comment, then we would explain that we're not making a change because of one comment. I'm presuming he meant if anyone made a comment on something that we've already discussed and hashed out. I know in my case I made a comment on behalf of the ALAC that Steve said, hey, yeah, that's a good idea, we should do it. So we just need to be careful on the words we use, that we may well choose to ignore a single comment if it's on an issue that has been well discussed prior to that. The second thing is...
Jordan, may I follow up?
Okay.
Please keep going, Alan.
Do you want to follow up right now, Steve?
I can just give you a quick answer to that, Alan. That's a great... We would only reflect what we as a group have put into our public comment tool, where we as a group looked at the ALAC suggestion in that case and said, that's a great idea. Alan, you'll see it in my updated document under the ATRT review, where we changed the way we describe the list of things to look at.
Now, Steve,
I
know that, and that's why I said I believe what you meant was, what you said was, if only one person made a comment, we will likely ignore it and explain that we're ignoring it. And I don't think that's what you meant.
No, you're right.
Okay. So that was my only comment. That was my intent there. We need to be careful on words, because otherwise we'll start flame wars over bad wording. And the second thing is, and I'm not convinced. I have to go back and look at it. Are we incorporating the whole AOC or the AOC reviews and some of the other aspects of it? There may be parts of the AOC review, the AOC itself, that we are not incorporating in. So we just need to make sure that we're not saying we will walk away from the AOC because of what we're integrating. There may still be some aspects outside. You did the work on that, so you may be in a better position to say definitively what you said, or I wasn't 100% sure.
Steve, do you want to just reply to that point as well?
Yes, Alan, you're exactly right. That's one of the reasons I brought that context over at the very top of the document on the screen. And I think Alan's dialing in. He may not be seeing the view. But
I do see it. I just didn't look at it.
Got it. It's at the very top of 6.2, and we really want to make it abundantly clear that the incorporation of the affirmation involves commitments. They get moved into the core values and bylaws and reviews that get moved into the bylaws and the review section. And those would be the two that are brought in. I might even suggest we add that there may be other elements of the affirmation where the U.S. government made commitments to ICANN, but those will not be reflected in the bylaws.
Exactly, which is the reason why we may not want to cancel the affirmation, but, cancel certain sections of it. Again, I'm just trying to make sure we dot our I's properly and don't say something inadvertently we didn't mean.
Yeah, that's a good caution. Thanks. So let me just recap on the process that's proposed. So what we're saying is that for each of the chunks of work that we've got to do, we've already covered all of the issues in our first public comment report. So the proposal is that for each chunk of the report, we do the three steps that Steve has noted in the chat window. The first step is to analyze public comments and, if necessary, asking follow-up questions of commenters so that we're clear about what, and by public comments, it isn't just the written comments, it's also the discussions that we had with people in the Buenos Aires meeting. The second point is to then update the CCWG proposal to reflect that and the new thinking that we've done. And that's an example of that is the document that's in front of us on the screen. And then the third point is to update the public comment, the responses document, the comment tool, to give feedback back to the people who made comments in our first round. So that's what I mean when I'm talking about process. To be really clear, what's in front of us now, affirmation of independence reviews, it isn't agreed text. We haven't discussed it in detail. We haven't exchanged views about it yet. The reason we're not doing that on this call is because we explicitly said to everyone through our call for agenda items that we were not going to deal with content. And the reason for that is that this call was done with a little bit less than 24 hours of notice. And the first point that we had to do was to organize our work. So I'm going to stand by that. We won't have a discussion of the content of what Steve's doing. Steve is not trying to push his views on anyone in this. And so that's what I mean by the process. And so, Caboose, your question is, the ICANN Seek in California processes is a substance. All of the content of what's on the screen is substance. What we're talking about is the process. And because we've got 6 minutes left of the call, that is where we're going to draw it out. So to me, this process that is proposed of reviewing the comments that we've had, updating the documents, and then updating the public comments so that it's all consistent, makes absolute sense. And so I think what we will see then is this piece on the AOC reviews, there will be a separate document which is the community powers, so the budget and strategic plan power, the bylaws powers, the removal of individual directors powers, fundamental bylaws powers, and the recall of the whole board. And the same process will happen. And we'll need to do one as well on the voting elements of the model and so on. So in terms of process then, the next step is that I will write our working party group an email that will set out these chunks of work and ask for volunteers to take on the leads for one or more bits of work. And we will not set up a new design team email list or anything, but we will adopt the process we did before that people will work together to develop content for the working party to review. The first outcome of that might be that the AOC thing. Steve might do a little bit more work on that and circulate it for review. And then what we need to do with our working party one calls is we'll need to schedule a few of those, and I apologize in advance that they will be at weird hours probably, and there'll be too many of them in the next couple of weeks, because we've got to provide time to do exactly what Caboose and others are calling for and is required. We have to debate the substance here. And so just be prepared for a number of calls that we'll try to, A, do at different times. So we'll try and do some around the clock so that people can have better or worse times for calls. And we'll make sure that nothing is decided on a single call. So, and the order that we'll debate the substance of these things is really importantly relies on the work that the volunteers do. So when material is ready to be discussed, we'll discuss it. If it isn't ready, obviously we can't do it. So in closing, I'd like to just say that as we do all of this work, we need to I'm just going to respond to one thing that's in the chat from Matthew. Is there any prioritization given the upcoming face-to-face? It seems to me that we should prioritize any more difficult issues for early discussion. So I'd like to suggest that people volunteer most quickly for issues that they think are going to be tricky or difficult and do the work as quickly as they can. Steve, you've got to put on Matthew's question as well. Please go ahead.
On, on the prioritization. If any of our community powers actually cared about whether we were a member, designator, or something else, if any of them actually depend upon that, then they prioritize to quickly get them up and surface. I don't think they do. So I agree with your answer that it's probably not necessary to prioritize all the community powers, but a quick pass through each of them would reveal whether there's a tight dependency to whether the structure of the model is member or designator. That's all.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, it is, we want to make these powers things absolutely independent of that so that the drafting can stand. And the model part will just end up in a different part of the final report. Alan, quick question?
Yeah, just for clarity, which mailing list are we using for these discussions, the WP1 list or something else?
WP1, yeah. I would much rather we keep the same email list and take the same approach to just avoid people to subscribe to lots of email lists and so on. It might be a bit high in terms of bandwidth or throughput for the next little while, but that's just the reality we face.
Well, was not closing. Just wanted to make sure I'm on the right list.
You are. Yep. No, definitely WP1 list is the one to be on.
Then I need to get on it. Thank you.
Okay, great. Oh, yeah, if you're not on it, please do join. So thank you, everyone. I don't know about you, but I certainly found that helpful in exploring the approach that we're going to take to dealing with this work. It's 10 a.m. here in Wellington by 2 p.m., so 4 hours from now you'll have my email out to the WP1 list for the chunks of work I think we need to do. Please review it as soon as you can after that point and add in any other bits of work. And then it's down to people who want to volunteer to start doing the work. And I'll set out what needs to be done again in the doc as well. And I'll work with the staff to propose a schedule of probably, unfortunately, about 5 calls between now and the 14th of July freeze, where we will work through in substance all of the issues that need to be dealt with. So on that note, thank you everyone for attending, and we'll draw this call to a close.